Welcome to the Nature Photo Guys podcast,
where we talk about nature photography from gear to our philosophies and everything in between.
So grab a cup of coffee, sit back and relax.
You're listening to Joe Desjardins
and Chris Gibbs, the Nature Photo Guys.
So Chris, how was your break, your holiday break?
Wasn't too bad, Joe. Yeah, and it was a Happy New Year, I guess. And
Happy New Year to you, yeah.
Yeah, and Happy New Year, everybody out there. No, it was pretty good. It was, I tried to avoid working on stuff, working on work stuff, and just try to have fun. But, you know, it always catches up with me and I end up working. But, how was your break?
I was quiet, nice and quiet. Good. I didn't have to people. So that was kind of nice. I mean, of course, you know, I saw family and stuff, right?
But yeah, sure.
You know, under the guidelines, right? But yep. It was quiet. Got to get out ice fishing on New Year's Day.
Nice.
Caught a bunch of fish with the niece and nephew and my brother. So that was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
You know, maybe we'll include something like that in one of our episodes, you know, later on or something, you know.
Yeah.
A little snippet of some ice fishing out there, so.
Yeah, you bet.
But yeah, other than that, it was good. You know, it was a nice time to be off, you know, catch up on some editing, you know, cleanup, you know, getting this office together, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah,
nice. Cool. Yeah, I did a bunch of that too. You know, the hard drive ends up getting fuller and fuller, and I ended up tidying that up a little bit. So that, you're right. I did that as well. So that, was definitely required. You know, you get so many files and folders and projects. And if you don't actually organize that and catch up on that stuff, it's just, it doesn't go well.
Here's only four drives. Nice. And that's not the other two. Like, actually we should talk about that. Why don't we talk about that file storage?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds good.
Let's talk about the camera first.
Okay.
Okay. I use the fastest cards that I can, to record, my images. Cause a lot of times I'm recording video and I'm recording stills. And because, my Lumix G9 can go up to 30 frames per second with electronic shutter, and my Canon 1DX Mark II can go up to 16 frames per second shooting JPEGs, 14 frames per second raw. I need fast cards.
Yes, right? You do.
Okay. Yep. Now, the other thing about that is that both of my cameras have dual card slots, okay?
Yep.
So on the Canon 1DX Mark II, I have a CF and a CFast card, okay?
Okay.
My Lumix G9 has two SD cards, okay?
Okay.
So this is what I've done. In the beginning, what I was doing was, let's say I had two 64 gig cards. I would record my images so that once the 64 was full, it would go to the next one and record it, record more images on the 64. So essentially I had 128 gigs of data.
Okay. And that was automated. Once it was done one, it automatically just continued on the other.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yep.
But that changed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long time ago, but that changed mainly because I did shoot some weddings in between.
Okay.
I'm a very paranoid photographer when it comes to shooting weddings.
Okay? Yes, don't blame you. That's why I don't shoot them.
And also, I've had cards corrupt on me.
Yeah.
So now, 100% with the dual card slots, I have my images recording to both at the same time. So if I got two 64 gigs or two 128 gig cards in my camera, both cards are being recorded at the same time. So essentially, I'm creating a backup in camera.
That's funny. That's exactly what I do. I'm exactly. So paranoid as well. I do the exact same thing.
And that's right. Cause you know what? Yeah. You can be out in the field and you get those once in a lifetime images and you know, that card does, you know, corrupt for whatever reason. And guys, it will corrupt. I'm going to show you something in a few minutes, just to show you what I mean, but they will, you know, it's not a matter that, it's not going to, it's a matter of when it's going to.
And there's no point in taking chances, right?
No, 100%. I mean, when I first learned that lesson, I actually lost some video of a moose feeding in the meadow, right?
Oh, okay. Yep.
And it was, you know, I wasn't too upset about it because I knew like the video quality, you know, it was a little shaky and all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like a real heartbreaking thing, right? But you know, still, I mean, it could have been a bear feeding on a carcass, you know, who knows,
yeah,
right? You know,
yeah.
So it's, that's not the point, but what I learned from that was no more, you know, recording to two cards at the same time, just buy more memory, right?
Yeah.
And you're good to go. And, you know, you just, you know, when the cards fill up, take them both out and then put them back in, right?
Agreed,
you know, put a fresh set in.
And it's always good to make sure that they're, I mean, they don't have to be the same size, but it's always better to have them both the same size, like two 32 gig cards or two 64 gig cards in there.
That's
it just
right.
equalizes it, right? So
that's right. I've always done that. Now,
yeah.
Don't quote me on this, but I think if you put in like a 164 in the first slot and a 128 in the second slot, I think once the 64 fills up, I think you can't record anymore.
And it probably depends on the camera make as well. I don't exactly know either.
So just check that out, guys. We're not saying it is, or you can or you can't, but
yeah.
Just something you have to check out.
Yeah, exactly. And my Canon's the same way. Like I have the 5D Mark III, and mm-hmm. one's got a compact flash and a SD card in there. So I do the same thing. I record to both simultaneously. And when I'm doing photography on the Fujis, I record to both at the same time. However, when I'm doing video, because of the amount of video and the amount of video that I shoot, and the 4K, and yes, should I be recording back up on, you know, dual at the same time? Probably, but there's so much content and the files get so big that I record them separately. I continue from one, then go to the other.
Oh my God, that'd be crazy. I would have to do it because I would just, especially
yeah.
video, you know?
Like, and I agree, but sometimes you're shooting in the middle of a project and mm-hmm. you're recording, say, a 30-minute item or whatever, and you
yeah.
don't want to have that stop at the mm-hmm. end. You want to be able to have that continue. But yeah, so I've been doing a shoot and all of a sudden it switches to the other card and simultaneously it continued recording.
Okay.
Otherwise it would just die. And there's not a real good way of knowing that it stopped recording. It just stopped recording. You could be recording for 10 more minutes and really you're not recording anything because everything's completely dead.
I see.
Yes.
So with video, is that how it works? Is that, you see, I've got it set, you know, obviously with the cameras, I mean, once you yeah. run out of photo file storage space, you can't yeah. take any more images.
Right.
So will video continue to run if you run out of storage?
It goes to the other card. Automatically goes to the other
okay.
card.
Yeah. But once the second card is full, you can't record anymore.
Agreed. Yeah. The card could end, stop recording, and it looks like I'm recording something still, but I'm actually not recording anything anymore. The timer
okay.
stopped counting,
okay.
all that kind of stuff. But if you're not paying mm-hmm. attention to that, if you're right in the middle of a shoot, it could catch you. So
okay.
I do that way. Yes, it's not the most ideal thing. It completely goes against what you and I just talked about on the photography side.
Yeah.
completely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm sure it's going to get me at some point. But the moment,
well,
you know,
and I'm going to show you that, Chris. I'm going to show
yeah.
you some examples of what happened.
Sure. Yeah.
So, okay. So once we, you know, obviously when the cards are done, right? Okay. I use a thing, a storage device called the Pixel Pocket Rocket.
Okay.
And essentially it's a, you know, it's made of fabric and you roll out. Now this one's designed
okay.
for CF cards. Okay.
Okay.
But I actually have it, with
you're
my
using
SD
it for
cards.
Both. Okay,
okay.
I see. Yeah.
So right here, you know, once I'm done shooting, I'll take out another two cards.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And these are 64 gig, Lexar 150 megabyte per second cards. Okay. Like
yep.
these, right?
Okay.
So when I take them out of the camera, what I do is I flip them. Okay. So when I put them into the Pixel Pocket, they're reversed. So now you can see that these are reversed and these ones are facing forward. So I know these ones have been used.
Great idea.
Okay.
Yeah. I do the same thing. Yeah. That works
so
perfectly.
So what do you use, Chris?
So yeah. So I actually have a Pelican case that I use. And you know, waterproof and all that kind of stuff. So I have all my cards. I use SanDisk Extreme Pro cards. So basically mm-hmm. I have all these cards in here and I do the same thing. As you can see, I flip this pair around because I've used that pair and I know that, you know, I want to get home, transfer those cards. So I flip them around. So I keep them all in pairs. And basically I have, some 64 gig cards, 170 megabit per second. I do have some, 32 gig cards. This one's a 32 gig cards, 300 megabit per second. So it really depends on what I require for there. I've had come across the odd camera, Sony camera, that I was trying to record 4K 60 frames per second that I was borrowing and my cards were too slow to actually record 4K 60 frame.
Okay.
So I keep these 300 megabit per second as backup just in case. The speed also helps with transferring files and all that as well. So it comes across good, but yeah, I do the exact same thing. I flip them around this way. I know exactly the ones I've used. So when I go to grab the next card, I'm not formatting something that I've just spent, you know, a day shooting and you don't want to do that. So.
And that's the thing, guys. I mean, obviously you can get the fastest cards out there, but if it's not within your budget, you got to get something that's close, right? You know, like you buy the camera for the speed, right? And you know, you want to try and maximize that. So, you know, you try and get the cards to match, but I mean, some of these cards can cost $300-$500 each.
Yeah. You know what I've kind of gotten the habit of also is, yes, I do have a couple 128 gig cards. Now I use those specifically for video because like I said, I'm recording longer projects and they're building up time, that kind of thing. But what I've come to get in the habit of doing is I don't care if I have a 256 gig card or whatever. If I've got some 32 gig cards and 64 gig cards, that's fine because I can take the, like once I'm done, they're full, I can take them and grab two different 32 gig cards. The reason I'm saying that is because if you're shooting all day or all weekend or on a big long trip on a 256 gig card and that card, you know, gets corrupted, you've lost everything. But if you're using multiple smaller cards, you may not lose as much at the end of the day.
Okay.
So psychologically, that's a good point. I tell myself.
No, that's a good point. Cause here's the thing. Yeah. I used to shoot a lot of weddings. Mm-hmm. I mean, a ton of weddings. Okay. Like back in the film days, I used to shoot 30, 40 a summer. Okay. Wow. Okay. But that was film. Okay.
Yeah.
When I transferred over into digital, okay, I was using back then it was 8 and 16 gig. Yeah. And if you had a 32 gig card, like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the longest time, I kept with those 8 and those 16 gig cards because with a wedding, and I'd fill up 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, right? You know, I'd fill up a whole bunch of them. But if one of those cards corrupted, then I would still have a good portion of the wedding left.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
So I never would shoot a wedding on one, like say 128 gig card.
Sure.
Ever.
Yep.
You know, unless, you know, of course, unless I have the backup, right? Unless I'm shooting to two cards. But then again, I probably still wouldn't do that. I'd probably shoot the 32 gig cards or 60, whatever I have, because you don't need the speed. You don't need like 30 frames per second shooting a wedding. I mean, you're shooting stills, right? You know?
Yes. Yeah.
You're shooting one or two frames at a time, unless you're going for some special effect, right? So, but that's my paranoia, you know?
Yeah, it's very similar, right? So, I mean, as long as you got a bunch of cards and you don't have to spend, like you say, you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on massively sized cards.
That's
buy the
right.
smaller ones and just get more. I mean, this one fits like, I don't know how many yours fit. Mine fits 12 of them. So I don't know how many you can get in your pack, they have.
Actually, what I'm doing is I'm putting like two cards per section.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like
that's even
getting
more.
Like I said,
these
fit CF, right? So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. I can fit 20 cards in here.
Oh, good.
If I want to, you know.
Sure.
And I flip them over in pairs, like I said, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
And it's funny, I actually do the same thing with the mini SD cards. This one here, I don't know if you can see this on camera, but they actually have a slot underneath the SD cards.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. Because what I was doing is, let's say I was using my GoPro with the mini SD. What I would actually do is use the adapter.
Oh yeah.
And then put the, you know, the micro SD
and flip
back
it
in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
That's what I would do. But no, that's great that you have that capability there.
Yeah. So. And you can flip them around in there as well. Right. So it's just nice and handy.
That's
so you can have, you know, with the GoPros, if I have a bunch of different devices that got mini SD cards, so they're nice and handy in there for sure. So,
but again, guys, it's whatever works for you. I mean, this is a system that I adopted and probably you adopted, Chris, right from the beginning and it works. It's easy. It's simple.
Totally works. Yeah. Yeah. And some people don't know about that. And then you hear about that and go, wow, that's a damn good idea. I think that works out perfect. Right. So you kind of pick these things up over time for sure.
Now, this is what I want to show you guys. Now, you know, you may never have had a card corrupt. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to show you this right here. Can you see that? Okay.
Oh yes.
Okay. So this is 3 SD cards. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a CF card.
Yeah.
And then this is an external hard drive. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. All of these are corrupt.
Nice.
And this is just the ones I'm showing you right now.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Corrupt. Yep. Okay. So why do you think I back up the dual card slots? Okay.
Exactly. To begin with, okay? Yes.
This is why.
Now, there's a huge reason.
You may say, well, what about brand? Does one brand corrupt more over the other? Well, no. I've got 2 Lexar cards here. No, I'm sorry. I got, 2 Lexar cards. One's the CF, one's the SD. And then I got 2 SanDisk cards. Okay. Yep. And then this drive here is the Seagate. This external drive.
Yeah.
So doesn't 3 matter. Different brands, you know? So, you know what? People have asked, actually I had a friend of mine just ask me, which is better, you know, Seagate, Western Digital, this, that. Yeah. And I'm like, whatever is the best price right now, to be honest, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking SSD, solid state drives. You know, just your standard hard drives, what are they? 5,400, 7,200 RPM drives.
Exactly. Multiple choices there for sure. Yep.
That's right. The ones with moving parts. Okay.
The moving parts. Yeah.
This does happen, guys. This does happen. And I wanted to show you this just to show you, okay. you can see why our paranoia sets in, you know? Okay. Well,
and here's an example, you know, to add on to what you're saying there, I'm not going to mention the brand because at the end of the day, like you said, it doesn't matter. It's going to happen to every brand that you get. Unfortunately, that's just the case. But I bought a 4 terabyte external drive. And in less than 30 days, it fried itself. It was corrupt. And I lost everything on that drive on 4 terabytes. Now,
you didn't have dual backups?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
We'll get into that a little bit more, I'm sure, on our computer stuff as well. But I did have everything backed up. But, you know, the amount of time it's going to take to copy, you know, I think I had 3 terabytes on that drive already. Mm-hmm. The amount of time it's going to copy, buy another drive and copy to those 3 terabytes over is like days, some cases, right? So,
well, again, it does happen on those drives. Speed, right?
Oh, depending on everything. Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
But it does happen. Least you had backup. That's all that matters.
Yes, for
sure. And then doesn't the paranoia set in because now you only have 1 backup drive?
I know.
And you're trying to make a double. And what if that one main drive fails while you're trying to back up, you know?
Totally. Yeah. So,
but you have a solution for that, don't you?
I have a bunch of solutions. I'm extremely paranoid.
Don't you back up to, why don't you talk about the server you have?
Yeah, I actually do multiple things. I don't know if you want to get into the scenario.
Well, you know what? Why don't we stop and wait? We'll talk about that last.
Okay.
Because I think most people won't have the system you have.
Sure.
Okay.
Fair enough.
You're the ultimate paranoia guy.
I'm the ultimate paranoia guy. Yeah.
For reasons. You know, you're a full-time photographer, videographer, and I mean, you deal with client files all the time.
So yes.
It's very, very important.
You can't chance losing them. Yeah.
That's right. So actually, let's talk about when we get home and the options for in the field. So when I get home, I've got, like I said, I've got 2 cards that have been backed up, right?
That's okay. Right. Yep.
So now what do I do with those 2 cards?
Okay.
I take one, obviously, and I put it into my card reader. Okay.
Correct.
And then I download those files, and we're not going to get into how I do it through Lightroom. Okay.
Sure.
But I use Lightroom Classic. Okay. And I go through Lightroom and I download that single card to 2 external drives.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. So these are two six terabyte drives. Okay. These are Seagate. Okay. I've got Seagate. I've got Western Digital. I've got all kinds of stuff, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But these are 2 Seagate drives. Now you can see that. I don't know if you can see what it says, but one says 6 terabyte main.
Okay.
The other one says 6 terabyte main backup.
Nice. Okay? Yep.
So basically what I do is as I'm downloading the files through Lightroom, it's recording to both drives.
Okay. So so it's automatically doing that. You've set it up so that just happens. Okay.
So once I hit, you know, import through Lightroom, do my little tweakings, you know, as far as keywording and all that kind of stuff and and that sort of thing, which we're going to do in another video.
Absolutely.
Once I do that, it comes in and it's recording to both drives simultaneously.
Okay.
So I've got the main drive and I've got a backup drive. Okay.
Okay.
And then when that's done, then I feel better about taking those two SD cards, putting them back into my G9,
right,
reformatting and going to shoot. Now, here's another point we should touch on. This is going to be one of our tech tips or pro tips.
Yeah.
But whenever you should, after every shoot, come home, download, backup, put the cards back into the camera you're using and reformat. You always want nice, clean cards to start.
Yeah. Because you may forget that, you know, hey, as we get older, some of us, as we get older, we may forget that we've copied those over to the computer, right?
Are you talking about me or you?
Maybe both of us. I don't know. I'm speaking from experience. Did I copy those? Or why is, you know, you're right. Format immediately. And the difference is format those cards in the camera you're going to be using them in. Because the Canon, you know, I have a Canon, I have a Fuji. The Canon cannot read the files that my Fuji takes. They're different format. Mm-hmm. They're both raw files, but they're different. You know, Fuji and Canon handle them differently.
That's right.
So make sure you always format the cards in the camera
That's like right now, I've got the G9 and the 1DX, right? Mm. So the 1DX takes the CFast and the CF. And the G9 takes the two SDs. So I never have that problem.
Good.
Yeah. But when I was shooting Canon and I was shooting the 1DX Mark II and I was shooting the 7D Mark II.
Yep.
They both use CF cards.
Right. Yeah.
And the 7D Mark II also used an SD. So I had to make sure I reformatted for the 1D and for the 7D just to make sure. You never want to have that. You never want to compromise anything, right? You know,
not
you just
at all.
Always want to make sure you got nice, clean cards for that specific camera. So you can go out and shoot with no worries. Like, there's peace of mind, right?
Here's an example, right? If I have a full Fuji card and put that into the Canon, it doesn't recognize that. It may recognize that there's space being taken, but it doesn't show me any images. Like it just says no images on this card.
It just won't even read it. Yeah.
It won't read it.
It's a different file format for sure.
Right. So how long is that going to actually take? It may get one photo out of it for all I know. So I just don't take those chances whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I do when I get home. I download, I go through Lightroom.
Mm-hmm.
And again, keyword, do all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And then I've got dual backup cards can go back into the car or that cards can go back into the camera and I'm good to go. So that's the short version.
Yeah. So when you copy the one card to both drives, do you make sure that you've got all the files off of that card as well? You're making sure.
That's right. And then I'll just go into my, what is it called for me? It's called, I'm on the Mac through Finder.
Yeah.
And then just look at both drives and they're there I'm good to go. Actually, if I see them on Lightroom, I'm still good to go. I don't really need to even go into Finder as long as they show up in Lightroom across my, toolbar at the bottom, or I guess the film strip, grid view or whatever you want to, you know, whatever you're using,
then
I'm okay to throw those cards back in and reformat and be ready.
And the beauty part of it is if you do it as soon as you get home, you know what you just shot. So you're going to see it in Lightroom. But if you wait two weeks, you may not remember. So just do it right away.
Right.
It's way better to organize that way.
Yeah. So that's the basic backup. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to just touch on this really quick, but I know we're not really going to get into it. But so once I find my keepers, the images that I want to set up for, you know, for prints or publication or any of that kind of stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will take those and then I will back them up also to OneDrive. So I got cloud storage.
Yep.
Okay. And I also got, you want to talk about paranoid. And then I also got what's called, my RAID drive.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a RAID system where, you know, if you actually look inside, it's got four hard drives. Okay.
Yep.
And what happens there is, to explain the RAID system kind of quickly, what it does is one image would go across multiple external hard drives,
correct? That's right. Yeah.
That's right. So what happens is, and this has happened to me once only, one of these hard drives, if one of these hard drives fail, you can actually remove it, put a new hard drive in, and then it kind of like repopulates and everything.
Yeah, it rebuilds the server, basically.
It rebuilds the server, and that image isn't lost, right?
Correct, yeah. It takes a number of minutes or a number of hours, depending on how much content you have, but you're right. At least you've saved yourself.
So did I explain that correctly, Chris? Or like, is that kind of the gist of it? Or
I think at the end of the day, it's basically, let me say it this way. If you had 2 6-terabyte drives in a RAID server, and that's all you had, technically, we'll say, you have about 6 terabytes of space, even though you have 2 6-terabyte drives, because they're basically redundant.
That's right.
If you have 4 6-terabyte drives, there's a magic number in there that it actually, it's not 4 6-terabyte drives. It's not actually 24 terabytes.
It's probably more like 12.
Yes, that's right. So it's averaging all over the place. So if you do lose a drive, you're not going to lose everything. But if that ever does happen, like in the next day or two, switch that drive immediately, like try to replace that as soon as possible, because if one drive failed, you never know. If the next drive fails, now you're screwed. So you need to make sure that you're
I've always had an extra one on hand.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never like, plan. Oh crap, I better go and buy one. Yes. I've always just had one. And whether I use it or not, whatever. It's just peace of mind, right?
Sure. Yeah. So, and some of them are quite expensive. So it's
This is an older system, but it still works. You know what I mean?
Nice. Yeah.
My original one was a Drobo.
I had a Drobo, yeah.
Yeah, and then it failed.
Okay? So did mine, yeah.
I did, eh? And then they replaced it with this RAID Plus. I'm trying to remember what it's actually called. It's called a Pro RAID.
Okay.
But it's actually made by, it's at Mediasonic. That's what it is, yep. Mediasonic, yeah. So it's been awesome. I mean, it's, nice. You know, never any problems. It hasn't failed since, right? So.
Yeah, I had a Drobo for years. It was a basically four-drive Drobo.
I loved it too.
The
simple to use.
The software was great. It was always telling you exactly where it was at. The problem I had was I replaced multiple drives over time in it. Now, technically, I had it for like 7 years or something like that. But over time, I replaced a ton of drives to the point that the last couple of drives I was replacing, it just wasn't reacting anymore, and it was just getting old, so I had to replace that system.
I only had one drive go.
Oh, okay.
And it was on the Drobo.
Okay.
I haven't had one yet on the Mediasonic. So,
but I haven't had anything on mine either.
That's just, you know, just wanted to bring that up to you that, you know, once I'm done in Lightroom and I've got those keepers and I export them as a TIFF, and we'll talk about this later in another episode, why I do that as a TIFF.
Exactly.
But they're uploaded to OneDrive and then they're on my RAID. So sure. I'll have them, you know, no matter what, right? I mean, even if I lose my entire RAID system, I still have them up on the cloud.
Sure.
So that's when I get home, right? Okay. But what happens when you're out in a field for a week?
Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So like, let's say when I was up in Churchill photographing polar bears.
Yeah.
Okay. What I actually did was I carried these small little external drives.
Oh,
okay?
Nice. Yeah.
These are made by, let's see what these ones are. These are Seagate. Okay.
Okay.
And, you can get them, whatever, 2 terabyte, 4, 6, 8, whatever terabytes there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So again, because I have 2, I would download.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And save to 2 cards. Okay.
Gotcha.
Now to add to my paranoia even more.
Yeah.
I brought so many, memory cards that I would shoot the cards. I would download them, take those 2 cards, put them right at the bottom of my my Pixel Pocket, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then work my way up, just in case, you know.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you're not going to format those.
I didn't format those. I just kept
this way. You got them as backup. Out, yeah, know? Yeah.
And I ended up with just over 14,000 images.
Well,
and I didn't have to format a single card.
Nice.
That's how many cards I brought with me.
Okay? Nice. Yeah.
So I had double backup on my 2 cards.
Yeah.
And then I had dual backups on here. Now, perfect. Guys, that is extreme, extreme, extreme. I don't even recommend it, but because it was a once in a lifetime trip for me, well, maybe not once in a lifetime. Yeah. I will definitely be going back up.
Yeah.
But because of where I was going, I just, you know, not that I was super paranoid, but I just thought, you know, I might as well go through the cards I had. Right.
Yes.
And then if absolutely. I had to go back to the original ones I shot, like the first ones I shot, then I would format them and continue going. Right.
Yeah. But until you get home and get them back onto your server kind of thing, it's you're not comfortable, are you?
And then here's the other option too, guys. I mean, if you have a Wi-Fi connection and it usually takes a long time, you could have taken those files you shot for the day and backed them up to the cloud. But true. I know sometimes that could take hours depending on your Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah. Right? If you're in a hotel, they usually it's slow signal. Right. So
that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, I know we're talking about, we sound very, very paranoid, but in the end, I mean, a lot of times you just don't know what you got. Like, I mean, these are unique once in a lifetime images sometimes, right?
Yes. You know? Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And you're not paranoid until some of these things start happening to you, and then you're excessively paranoid, and it will happen. You know, from Joe and I, it will happen. Hey, yeah. I've used computers that have just died completely, right?
Exactly. So, and you know, like I've showed you other drives, like obviously, I've got four drives here, but there's actually two drives worth of data, right?
Oh yeah, because they're backed up.
These are backups of each of these. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
So this is a backup of this. This is a backup of that. You know, that kind of thing, right?
So one key thing, Joe, that you've brought up, and you know, I'll bring it up as well. But when you're talking about it, you're saying you're copying your files to external drives. You're not saying you're copying your files to your computer hard drive, are you?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because the computer or the laptop or the iMac or whatever you're using, a PC, you need that hard drive space and that RAM to process images, to process video, right? Like on this, I got a MacBook Pro and it's only got a 500 gigabyte hard drive. Okay. And it's basically just to, do general things, right?
Right.
It's basically for when I'm doing editing and that sort of thing. So I work from those hard drives, or actually work from the main hard drive, because the other backup drive is my backup, right?
Yeah.
But I'm working from that. So I'm not working from anything on my laptop. So that's a good point.
Yeah. And that's key. That's key. I've had multiple computers, you know, at work when I, you know, was in the broadcast industry and all that kind of stuff, die just for no reason whatsoever. They just fried and they died. We had a whole batch. Our team had a batch of computers died within a month. These things happen. So always make sure you're backing up. I have a MacBook Pro as well. The only thing I keep on that MacBook Pro is the software, my email.
That's right.
Right. But the software.
I'm the same. And I back up through Time Machine. So I've got a backup of what I got on there. I do have like some documents, like Word docs and some Excel spreadsheets and stuff. But the real important stuff, I've just kind of dragged them off onto an external drive, anyways, right? So
and I love Macs. I love Macs. Mm-hmm. You know, Apple devices, all that kind of stuff. I love them, but they fail too. I had a MacBook Pro. Within 8 months, it died. The battery
really
blew up, explode. I don't know if you've seen the batteries expand before. They had to replace the trackpad, the keyboard, everything like that. Therefore, I had to go to get another computer. So can you imagine if you had 4 terabytes of, if you had a massive hard drive, all your content, all your files, all your software, that'd be a lot, and you could lose stuff. So you got to be careful, right? So
that's right. Because a lot of our viewers aren't even shooting RAW, right?
True.
So a lot of our viewers are shooting JPEGs.
JPEG,
so, you know, with a 1 terabyte MacBook Pro, you could fit tens of thousands of images on that hard drive, right?
Yeah.
And then what happens if the MacBook fails like yours did, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that's why we're really suggesting to get everything off your computer.
Yes.
And backed up. I mean, if you want to take a bunch of images, throw them on your laptop's hard drive to work with them. Because you know, maybe the speed is a little bit faster because you're not, you know, going from the drive working from an external hard drive, depending on the read write speed and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's fine. But get that stuff off your main
computer. Make sure you have a backup of those before you copy them in the hard drive. But yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so What is it that you do now, Chris? That you go, I think you have a home-based server or something, don't you?
Yeah, it's similar to what you're talking about, though, your RAID server. It's pretty much what it is. But my process is a little different, but basically the same, really. Okay. I have an extra step in there. So what I do, I guess, is if I'm, let's say if I'm in the field, I'm away for a week doing a shootout, yep. You know, whatever. I do the same thing. I copy my files to a backup, to a main drive. I have a Western 4 terabyte Western Digital drives. So yep. I have a main and a backup. I copy them to the main, then copy the video files or photos to the backup. So I have, you know, they're mm-hmm. there until I get home. I do the same thing with the memory cards. I don't mm-hmm. delete them until I get home. That's right. Same scenario like we just talked about with your side. Yeah. When I'm home, what I do is I copy the files to the main drive. Mm-hmm. And then the moment that main drive sees the files, it automatically yeah. copies those to my server without me doing anything. It just happens. So the moment I copy it, I have a 7 terabyte Synology server. It's a 4-bay. Okay. I can't remember the model number at the moment. I'll put the image on the screen for everybody to see. Okay. But basically the beauty part of it is that I can add drives in there in the 4 bays. But if I need more, that's basically a PC built into the 4-bay RAID server. And then if I need more space, I just buy more bays and I can basically, really? Yeah, oh, chain wow. them together. I can't remember how many I can chain together, but I can yeah. chain bays upon bays upon bays upon bays together.
Okay.
5, 6. I can't remember exactly how yeah. many bays, but bays of yeah. 4 drive yeah. slots to make this massive server. The main one has the computer attached to it, but the next bays are just buying 4 extra bays okay. to add the content to, and you still got to put hard drives in there. Oh, but correct. The yeah, moment I sure. copy a file to there, that server sees that I've directed the server to look at that external drive. And mm-hmm. as soon as it sees a file, it automatically copies it over there. The next step cool. is that the moment I then back up to the cloud, because the moment the cloud sees something on that server, it then takes that file and backs up to the cloud. So I'm a little paranoid, but you know, I working in the broadcast industry and seeing IT and all that, they always say you should have at least 3 copies of every file you own. So okay. that's the theory that I go with, right? I have that's it on right. external hard drive, I have it on the server, and I have it in the cloud. Something right. dies. Okay. Just like I was talking about before, I did have a 4 terabyte drive die. It wasn't the Western Digitals that I was talking about. That's why I'm using these now. It's a different brand.
Oh, so you don't want to say which drives failed.
Well, I can't.
Like I said, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like for me, like I hope, fail, guys, right? I hope you guys can see this, but these are, I just taped these to the external.
Yeah. Drive, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's just that's an SD. That's a CF. That's, you know, I just taped them here just as a package because sure. I'll show these in workshops and seminars just to say like, hey, you know,
yeah.
But, so well, this,
I can bring it up. I'll bring it up okay. because they're a great company. I love mm-hmm. them as well. And they actually replaced the drive. So it's okay. one of the Lassie drives, the oh. you know, right. So it's yeah, one of these
I've
guys.
Got a bunch of those. Actually, they're over there. They're the Thunderbolt drives. Yeah.
Yeah. Less. Yeah. That's got the cord attached right in it. Right.
That's right.
So yeah. it died in less than 30 days. I lost all the content, but because I back up the 2 drives,
that's right.
I basically approached the company and they sent me a new drive. So now nice. This is my Time Machine backup. So that's what I okay. use it for. Yeah. Cause I'm paranoid. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. but what I do perfect. is, you know, I also, that main drive, because I ran into this issue where I had to basically copy that backup of my drive from the server back to a new drive mm-hmm. took like 3 days to happen. So what I've what? Done was it took a long time because I had like really? Just about 4 terabytes or 3.5 mm-hmm. terabytes of content. So it takes a mm-hmm. long time to go through the server. Depends on how fast your network is. It's not hardwired to my MacBook because I don't have an okay. Ethernet jack on my MacBook, mm-hmm. right? So it was all wirelessly transferring. So I'm sure that didn't help, right?
Okay, that
so,
makes sense right there.
Because okay, the MacBook so does. I don't have right. one of these adapters with Ethernet mm-hmm. on it. I don't have one of these that the Apple MacBooks require. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it was wirelessly. So what I did was I invested in a piece of software called ChronoSync.
Okay.
And ChronoSync basically is a cloning tool. So I mm-hmm. have the main and the backup that I'm talking about is when I put the backup attached to my computer, I got the main, the backup attached to my computer. I run ChronoSync and it clones them together. So they just make them identical. So no matter what files.
Okay. So can I just interject here?
Yeah.
So I work, everything is off my main drive.
Okay.
So once I'm working in Lightroom and, you know, when I work in Lightroom, my first run of edits is, you know, say I have like 100 images.
Yeah.
I'll go through and let's say I'll cull 50 of them. Okay. 50 of them are deleted right away because they're out of focus or the exposure's off or they're just not very good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll delete those. Then I'll pick a few more, right? Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. I'll delete more. And then I'm down to say 20 images. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Once I'm done editing and it's, you know, saved to the Lightroom catalog, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Then I run a program called Super Duper.
Okay.
So similar to what yours is, Super Duper. And then what it does is it takes this drive. Okay.
Yeah.
And what it does is it clones this one to this one. So my backup is identical to this one every time I run Super Duper. Because even though this is a backup, I still don't want all the junky files on there. The files that I'll never look at, right?
No,
Or else, I mean, I would run out of these way before I run out of these.
Oh, because, sure. Yeah.
You know, of all the files I've deleted, right?
Yes,
So my program is called Super Duper.
Okay.
And I think it's only available for Mac. It might be available for PC. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But what was yours called again?
It's called ChronoSync.
And is that just for a Mac or PC?
I don't know. I have a Mac, so that's what I use it for. But it's basically, it can do three different copying styles. The one I've used before is basically, here's the main, back it up, you know, just copy it to the backup. But the other one that I like to use because of this situation, right, is basically it clones it. So in other words, if my main drive dies again, I just plug my backup in. And I'm off to the races again because every single thing is on this drive and it's just like before.
Nice.
And then I grab another one and it reclones it together. So it's basically if I delete something off the backup or the main, the other one recognizes that and will equalize it to that scenario. So
cool.
I always have them looking identical.
And when I do that too. After a big edit, I'll run Super Duper and then just kind of, you know, clean things up and make things identical. So
and because the video files add up so much, like just like there could be a terabyte of video files, right? So what I do is once I'm done a project, these are the main ones that I use to edit off of all these drives. When I'm done a project, I copy it to the server to a different location. Yes, this whole backup drive, not only do I clone them, you can't see the other one right now, but not only do I clone them, but I also back it up to the server in one location. But then the rest of the server I use as storage and archive content. So then I basically drag the project off to the server main location, and then it frees up space on here for more projects down the road.
That's right. Okay.
So the server is where really everything lives for me. And then the server is backed up to the cloud as well. The cool thing about when I'm on the road and the cool thing about my server and the Synology server, when I'm say at a place that's got really great Wi-Fi, the moment that I transfer something to my backup drive, I transfer it into the computer to that drive. Mm-hmm. If I'm wirelessly connected to the internet, the Synology server actually sees it and will start backing up those files to my server.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Now it doesn't work at hotels, obviously, like we just talked about. Yeah. The speed's too slow. So I kind of pause that scenario, but it works great. So it's an extra backup scenario. So
cool.
But I'm paranoid. Right, so
So everybody has their own way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we want the viewers to come away with is dual backup. I mean, basically, you know, in the simplest forms, two external hard drives just in case. And, you know, they actually say, right, to have one of the external drives offsite.
They do actually. Yeah. It should be three separate locations really, or whatever.
You know, at least one is what they're separate saying location. Is, let's say that my place burnt down.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I should have a second one, you know, say at my brother's just in case. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's why I have the cloud.
Exactly. So, so that probably eliminates it for the most people. If you're using that, you know, getting that hard drive and going offsite, but, when all this digital stuff first happened, it'd be like, back up, you know, put it somewhere safe, you know, that kind
of thing. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of have to, you'd have to have physical drives at different locations for sure. I used to keep a drive at my parents' house just in case that's why I have the server, but that is why they have the cloud. Cause I am paranoid. If the house burnt down, I could have, you know, 100 terabyte server, but if the house burns down, it's all gone still. Right. So
that's right. Yeah. But you have the cloud.
But cloud space is expensive. So you know, look around. There are multiple options out there.
Yeah.
Some are more user-friendly than others. Mm-hmm. The ones that aren't as user-friendly are actually a lot cheaper to actually purchase the cloud space.
Yes. So, okay. So what cloud-based storage do you use?
So for my clients transferring files back and forth, because it's a user-friendly scenario, I use Dropbox. Okay. Because a lot of people use that. It's more of a user-friendly scenario. If people don't use computers very much, it's easy to get around, hit play on a video, look at photos, mm-hmm. no problem. But for my massive cloud backup storage, I actually use a company called sync.com.
Okay.
They're actually Canadian based, and it's a lot cheaper, unfortunately, than Dropbox. It's not as user-friendly. Mm-hmm. It's not as clean and nice of a software tool, but it stores a lot more for way less of a cost than Dropbox. And
you
don't need
something like super smooth. You just want to get those files up and done, right?
Yeah, as long as I can retrieve those files.
That's right.
You know, and I'm the only one that needs to look at them, so I know how to use it. So as long as I can retrieve the files. But for the client scenario, I found, having people play video or whatever, if they sometimes like to play it right off Dropbox, sync.com is not the best scenario for that. But I love them both. They're perfect for the way I use them, I'll say. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Do you use a cloud scenario? You were talking about OneDrive, I guess.
I just use OneDrive.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. And basically all I'm doing is storing my TIFFs
up there. Okay.
You know, yeah. I'm not too worried about all the other stuff because realistically since my digital career started, right. You know, as far as storage goes, I've never, ever gone back to look at files that I did not convert to TIFFs.
Because you pick
the best ones.
That's right.
You pick the best ones already, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So that's why I use OneDrive. I upload the TIFFs and everything else. I mean, they're still backed up. You know, I'm not going to delete, those files. The ones that I thought were the best from that set are, converted to TIFFs and uploaded, right?
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So.
I have like family photos and all that we've kept for years, and those are on the cloud, that kind of stuff too, right?
That's right. So there's a whole bunch of stuff up there, but as far as what I use it for, it's mainly the TIFFs. So I use OneDrive. Yeah.
Cool.
I have a Dropbox account too. That's just for some extra storage up there too, but I don't have a whole lot there. So yeah.
Sure.
So I think we covered a lot here today. I know we were redundant on a lot of stuff, but I think we're just trying to drive the message home, right? You know, you do backup. So
backup. And hey, we'd love to hear if there's any other scenarios that people are doing that you didn't hear today. We'd love to hear what you guys are doing too.
You betcha. So, hey, I wanted to show you guys something really cool. My daughter got me this for Christmas. She got it made, and it's actually a copy of our first podcast. Okay. And it's actually on acrylic.
That is awesome.
So I can actually, put this on the wall. She's actually going to get me, there's a stand that lights up. So it actually lights up the acrylic for it too.
That is cool. That is awesome. Yeah.
What a unique and creative idea. I mean, my daughter's very creative.
I never seen that before. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. She's, she's a costume maker. She's in the cosplay. She's won major competitions.
Good for her. So, that's exciting.
So that's Autumn Cosplay. If you're going to look on Instagram and everything. So just a little plug for her. So I thought that was pretty cool. I just wanted to bring that up. So
that is very cool. That's exciting. Actually neat to see it actually, on something right?
Chris, it's real now.
Oh, it is real. Too much pressure.
Exactly. So,
that's awesome. But,
I think we'll wrap things up. Yeah. If you guys have any questions, drop us a comment, send us an email, we'd be happy to answer them. And, we would be curious to know how you guys back up your files, I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of ways of doing it, right?
Yeah, and everybody probably does it a little different too, and probably uses a little bit of what we do and has their own spin on it, right? So
That's right. And, in some future episodes, I'll talk about how I get my files from the camera downloaded through Lightroom onto my backup drives. Chris does things a little different. He actually backs them up from the camera straight to the external drives and then imports them into Lightroom or Photoshop. So everybody's got a bit of a different way of doing things. So we'll touch base, you know, with that on future episodes. So.
Sounds good.
And if you guys like this video, please like, share, and subscribe.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
See you next time. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us on the Nature Photo Guys podcast. If you have any questions, contact us at info@thenaturephotoguys.ca or message us on Facebook and Instagram at The Nature Photo Guys Podcast. Visit YouTube and subscribe to our channel to watch all our latest videos. Or follow and listen to our latest podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on our website at thenaturephotoguys.ca. We'll catch you next time on The Nature Photo Guys Podcast.